You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. Well, the time has finally come. The running backs are done. I had about five left, and I said, okay, no more scouting report stuff. I got to just rip through these guys. And mostly for the top guys, it was confirming what I had already seen. I don't think a whole lot changed. Again, the plan, I will comment as I see fit. The plan more so is to talk about what we see in the Beast draft guide to see if there's anything new there. I will add in my thoughts as I see appropriate, but I just want to make sure that I can converse at least a little bit with the top 10 guys that I'm hoping we can get through today. There are others that I have looked at, others that I need to look at. My son is flying by me, and it's funny because I'm like, yeah, but he's like barely even watching these guys. He's just kind of casually watching. I'm like really watching, and he's got this little scoring system, and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, bro, these seem right. Stop it. Like we started with, what did we start with? Running backs, I think, and it was like, the scoring system's tough because you start at a random spot like five or something, and you just kind of work your way up. And you know, he got up to like nine. He's like, I don't really know what to do. Guys keep getting better. I was like, just keep going up. And you go up to 12, 15, who cares? It's just a whatever. Just keep going. So he got up to like a 12.5 for running backs, whatever. So he finally does wide receivers. He does it by himself because he kept bugging me every 5 minutes to like pull up a new video. So I just gave him a spreadsheet. Here's the names. Here's the links. And then here's where you put your grade for that player. So he's gone for however long. He comes back and he just has bulging eyeballs. And I'm like, what's up? He's like, these wide receivers are so good. And of course, Marvin Harrison has like a 20. I'm like, dude, shut up. You're supposed to be so bad at this. Make me look like an idiot. Malik Nabers is like an 18.5 or 19.5 or something. Whatever. But what we'll do is we'll start from the top. We'll work our way down, see how far we get. For reference, the top 10 running backs via Dane Brugler. Jonathan Brooks, number one. He has a second to third round grade on. Blake Corum, Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, and Marshawn Lloyd. He has a third round grade on. Braylon Allen, Audric Estime, Bucky Irving, third to fourth round grade. And then Ray Davis and Will Shipley, fourth round grade. The other fourth round grade being Tyrone Tracy. But that's 11th. We'll see where we get with that. All right, here we go. Jonathan Brooks, 6 foot 216 out of Hallettsville, Texas, 20.76 years old. You gotta love that, my goodness. Jonathan Brooks, who has an older brother, grew up in Hallettsville, 90 miles south of Austin. His father, James Skip Brooks, died in March 2022. Well, first of all, that's horrible, and I'm very sorry to hear that. Second of all, is there any doubt that we're drafting Jonathan Brooks now? He would be, what, the fourth draft pick that we've had whose dad recently passed away? It says, passed away after a kidney transplant, had years of dialysis, 49 years old. That's horrible. Who was it we heard recently his mother just passed away? I don't know. Terrible stuff. Jonathan has the date of his father's death tattooed on his right forearm. Brooks was introduced to football at age 5. It didn't take long before he made a name for himself at the youth level. Attended Hallettsville High School, played a few games JV before moving up to varsity as a freshman. All district honors, breakout junior season 2019, 1,300 yards, et cetera, et cetera. Second team All-State, was named district MVP, adding 233 receiving yards while playing defense and handling punt duties. He was second team All-State as a punter, so keep that in the back of our minds. As a senior, Brooks had record-breaking season with 3,530 yards, seventh most in state history. That's impressive for Texas. Accounted for 4,054 all-purpose yards and intercepted a pair of passes. He was named first-team All-State, led Hallettsville to a 13-3 record in 2020, the program's first appearance in the state championship game. It's so weird. Like, we know how old these guys are, but hearing he was playing high school football in 2020, like, wasn't that just... I mean, I know it was kind of a while ago, but it seems like 2020 just happened and dude was in high school. But I mean, he's 20. That's the whole point. Wow. It says he finished with 6,637 rushing yards in his career, returned to the school in 2023 to have his number 25 jersey retired. The first number retired in Hallettsville history. Brooks also lettered in basketball and track, sprints and relays, setting a personal best in the 200 meter at 23.86 seconds. He's a four-star recruit, number 24 running back in the 2021 class, number 51 recruit in Texas, playing 3A football. It took time before he was recognized as one of the better recruits in the state, but that all changed toward the end of his junior season when he received his first Division I scholarship offer from Texas. Later added offers from Texas Tech and several Group of Five programs, Colorado State, Louisiana, Texas Tech, and UTSA. He wanted an offer from Texas A&M, but the staff there supposedly thought he was too small. That's random. In May 2020, prior to his senior season, he officially committed to Texas. However, Coach Tom Herman was fired just 2 weeks after Brooks officially signed. Brooks stayed committed to the program, was number 9 recruit in Steve Sarkisian's class. Seems that's a pretty common thing. We keep hearing about that. The players keep jumping around. You know, they commit, then decommit, and then you also have somebody commits, and then there's a new coach, and they got to scramble to try to make sure nobody leaves. Says prior to the 2023 season, CJ Baxter was named the long hard starter, but Brooks overtook him early in the season. Despite tearing his ACL midway through his third season, Brooks elected to skip his senior season and enter the 2024 NFL draft. He did not participate in the East-West Shrine Bowl because of his injury, but he was present to interview with NFL teams. So I think if I could try to summarize Jonathan Brooks, he's not a massive guy, but he plays pretty big. He's really hard to bring down, very balanced, that good center of gravity, whatever you want to attribute that to. Very, very talented runner. You know, he's not the biggest. He's not the most agile. He's not the best at as far as vision goes or anything like that, but he's near the top and is one of the few guys that is, number one, completely well-rounded. You know, I love Blake Corum. He's a small dude, though. That comes with limitations. He just doesn't really have limitations, and he's incredibly gifted. He's described as a genuine person by his teammates and as an invaluable leader by head coach Steve Sarkisian. Had such an impact that Sarkisian sent him on the field for the final snap victory formation in the 2023 Big 12 championship game just weeks post-ACL surgery. He averaged north of 6 yards per carry in each of his 3 seasons in Austin. He is such a talented guy. I mean, is it necessary for us to use a second-round pick for Jonathan Brooks? Probably not. Would I be mad? Probably not. Negatives, obviously, ACL tear in the right knee is rough. I mean, that's brutal. And again, you know, we talk about medicals, and well, if he clears medicals, I don't know how definitive that can be. I don't know how definitive it is to have a doctor come in and pull on his leg a little bit and move his, you know, from side to side and pull and push and see that it's not going to be a problem in a year and a half or in 6 months when he gets on the field and gets smashed into. He also battled as a sophomore and had bilateral hernia surgery the day after the bowl game. So he's had some issues. 1 year starter at Texas. He was the go-to back in Steve Sarkisian's spread RPO offense, which utilized both zone and gap principles. Says overall, Brooks is a springy, balanced athlete with a feel for lane development and the elusive traits to create his own yardage, both at the line of scrimmage and on the second level. Statistically, he reminds me of Kenyon Drake, although Brooks has much better vision and big play potential, assuming he returns to his pre-injury form. At number 2, one of my favorite running backs, Blake Corum. He's a smaller guy, kind of Aaron Jones' size, to be honest, but he doesn't run with the same amount of power. But he's about 5'7.5", 205 pounds. He is 23 and a half years old. So you've got, you know, smaller guy, little bit up in age, little bit of an injury history. You know, it's a little rough, but I don't know that there's too many people that are more fun to watch. Blake Corum for me is just poetry in motion. It's like ballet, but it doesn't suck, you know? Anyways, Blake Corum, the oldest of four, he has three younger sisters, grew up in Marshall, Virginia, a one-stop light rural town about 50 miles west of Washington, D.C., where both his parents, James and Christina, also were raised. Corum apparently says, "I'm a country boy. I come from the country." He started playing sports like baseball and football at age five, often coached by his father, and competition quickly became a passion. He played for the Seahawks in Pee Wee football. He was apparently courted by several high schools. I've never heard that one before. He spent his freshman and sophomore years at St. Vincent Pelote, a private high school in Laurel, Maryland. That was a two-hour daily commute one way for the family. After two productive seasons, he looked for a larger stage and transferred to St. Francis Academy, a private boarding school in Baltimore, where he lived on campus and was coached by Biff Poggy, whatever. As a junior, Corum rushed for 1,400 yards, 20 touchdowns. As a senior, he led St. Francis to an 11-1 record and number three national ranking. The team's only loss in the 2019 season came against Bryce Young-led Mater Dei. Corum finished his final season with 1,266 rushing yards. He earned the 2019 Gatorade Player of the Year in Maryland. Four-star recruit, number 12 running back in the 2020 class, number six recruit in Maryland. Four of the top seven recruits out of Maryland in 2019 came from St. Francis. It's pretty wild. As an eighth grader, he'd already received FBS scholarships. That's nuts. I'm surprised he's just a four-star recruit. Considering he's got high schools recruiting him, he's getting college offers in eighth grade. It just seems weird to me. But he got, as an eighth grader, scholarship offers from Rutgers, Temple, and Toledo, and his offer sheet surpassed 20 schools by the end of his sophomore year. After he transferred to St. Francis, Corum added several high-profile offers, including LSU, Michigan, Ohio State, and Tennessee. Prior to his senior year, he committed to the Wolverines over the Buckeyes and was the only running back in Michigan's 2020 recruiting class. Poggy, who is now the head coach at Charlotte, was an analyst at Michigan in 2016, then was hired to be the Wolverines' associate head coach in 2021. Wonder how he got that job. Corum's father owns and operates Corum's Lawn and Landscape, where Blake worked during the pandemic to complement his workout routine. Corum was expected to leave early in the 2023 season, but the late-season knee injury pushed him to return for his senior year. He declined his invitation to the 2024 Senior Bowl. So if you're into the smaller, shifty, just freaking joystick, easy movement, fast burst, great vision. I mean, I love watching Blake Corum so much, but he's an older, injured, smaller player. I think there's zero chance the Packers draft him. I'm just saying I like him. He does have some kick return experience, maniacal worker, and the head coaches forced him to rest and develop more moderation to his workout routine. Former Michigan running back coach Mike Hart said he wants to be great and nothing will slow him down from doing that. He was named the 2023 team captain. Charlotte head coach Big Poggy, who coached Corum at high school and at Michigan, said, "You coach your whole life and probably will never have a guy like this." He rushed for a touchdown in all 26 games his junior and senior seasons, not counting the 2022 Ohio State game, in which he played only four snaps. Visited the end zone so much he bought property there, setting the Michigan record for rushing touchdowns in a season with 27 and a career of 58. That's crazy. Some of the negatives, short arms. He got really muscular, but still a smaller frame despite it. Overeager pass blocker. Suffered a torn meniscus, sprained MCL, and severe bone bruise on his left knee in November of 2022, which forced him to miss the season's final two games. Corum was the lead back of Sharon Moore's gap zone scheme after becoming the Wolverine starter in 2022. Jim Harbaugh put Corum in the same conversation as Frank Gore as the best running backs he'd ever coached. Harbaugh said, "There's no doubt that Blake will be right on the same dance floor as Gore in every way as a player." We'll see how much Harbaugh likes him, I guess. Overall, Coromazay is smaller than ideal for his run style, but he makes quick, urgent decisions with a low center of gravity and burst-to-bounce runs and maneuver through congestion. His determination to maximize each carry will translate well to the NFL to an NFL offense, although his effectiveness on third down will determine his upside. And that's, again, if you could, you know, maybe just make him grow 1 inch and add 15 pounds, I don't know that he wouldn't be the perfect running back, you know? Well, also shave off 2 years and a knee injury. Then he would be a perfect running back. All right, picking up the pace here, Trey Benson, 6 foot 216, Greenville, Mississippi. He is 21.7 years old. My personal thoughts, I really like, he's very close to being sort of that perfect, well-rounded guy. But despite being 216, he doesn't play like a big running back. Very fast, very talented. He's a perfectly fine receiver. Lots of breakaway speed. He's definitely got that. That's the one thing where, I mean, you borderline, you can see why Trey Benson would be ahead of Jonathan Brooks, right? Because I remember watching Jonathan Brooks on a run and he got caught from behind and I'm thinking, I think Trey he might have housed that one. But just a really good, solid, well-rounded, you know, good size, good speed. He's got everything, 21, you know, he'll be 22. Age is not an issue. I like Trey. Kertrell Benson, also known as Trey, one of four kids, was born and raised in Greenville near the Arkansas state line. Started playing at 8 years old. He said his first catch was a touchdown. I didn't even know I could catch. began at O'Bannon High School, started varsity 2 seasons, transferred to St. Joseph Catholic School, final 2 high school seasons, teamed up with longtime childhood friend Dylan Johnson. It's another one of the backs here. A 3-star running back who signed with Mississippi State before transferring to Washington. As junior captain, Benson rushed for 1,800 yards, da-da-da. They got a 3A state championship, led the program back-to-back state titles. That's cool. During an undefeated 13-0 season in 2019, he got first-team all-conference honors as a junior and senior, also making plays as a linebacker, 46 tackles, et cetera, et cetera. He also played basketball at St. Joseph, lettered in track, setting personal bests, blah, blah, blah. 3-star recruit, Benson was number 27 running back, number 7 recruit in Mississippi, the top-ranked running back in Mississippi. Initial offers from Memphis, Southern Miss. The floodgates opened after his junior season when he received scholarship offers from Florida State, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Oregon, Penn State. Benson committed to the Ducks in June 2019 and enrolled in June 2020. Spent most of his freshman year on the scout team before suffering a major knee injury again. We just can't get away from these things. Which limited his redshirt season. Feeling traumatized because of the injury, Benson needed a fresh start and entered the transfer portal in January 2022. Transferred to Florida State, where he played 2 seasons, was roommates with another transfer, Jared Verse. Benson skipped the 2023 bowl game, his final season, eligibility, blah, 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 blah. Looking at some of the strengths, I already kind of gave my thoughts on him, I guess. Contact balance, great, you know, sculpted muscle tone. Benson said, my teammates call me Forrest Gump because I just run. I could see that. I could see he's got a lot of these big breakaway runs. I could just hear some of his teammates behind him. Run, Forrest! Great footwork, credit with 0 fumbles in college. That's really impressive. Good pass catcher, da-da-da. First Florida State running back with a 100-yard receiving game since Dalvin Cook. 4 plays of 50-plus yards. Was the only FBS player with an 80-plus yard reception and 80-plus yard run in 2023. First in Florida State history to have both in a career. Inexperienced but productive kick returner with a 93-yard touchdown in 2022. Some of the weaknesses, again, as I mentioned, kind of doesn't play like a bigger guy. Talks about how he runs upright, doesn't drive through contact, just kind of absorbs it, et cetera, et cetera. So I do think that's, you know, he doesn't run like he's 216, but I hopefully, although we didn't necessarily see it with Dylan, that can be kind of a coachable thing. Not that he's going to be a powerhouse. He's not 250. But he should be able to have a little bit more power. I mean, Aaron Jones has some power at 207, for crying out loud. A little bit further down, underwent surgery after suffering a major injury in a non-contact play in practice, tearing the ACL, MCL, and lateral and medial meniscus in his right knee. My goodness. That was December 2020, had only one game of 100-plus rushing yards in 2023. Summary. 2-year starter, lead back, and head coach Mike Norvell's up-tempo offense, mostly gap scheme runs. He models his game after Adrian Peterson, runs with a plant-and-go explosiveness. Overall, Benson's vision and run instincts tend to be spotty, but he runs hard off tackle with burst and balance to stay afloat through contact. Cutting the Melvin Gordon mold, he projects best as part of an NFL committee in which he'd have any down and big play potential. All right, let's take our first break. We'll come back with the number four running back, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, because that boy fast. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, 5'10", 210, out of Durham, North Carolina, is 21 years old. I'll admit, Jalen Wright is fun to watch. I think the first time I kind of went through was like, you know, if there's not a big lane to run through for him to just take off, there's nothing. But, I mean, he's got some good agility and some vision and whatnot. And it just also happens to be that you better not let him get space because dude is fast. So I like him. And again, 5'10", 210 is not small. I mean, he's not 190 pounds. He's not 185. He's 210. That's bigger than Aaron Jones. So just putting that into perspective. The age is fine. Height's fine. Weight's fine. Anyways, Jalen Wright, one of four kids, Raleigh, North Carolina, started playing football for the Durham Eagles Pop Warner League, was a standout running back at Carrington Middle School, where he also ran track. Varsity at Southern Durham High School as a freshman and sophomore. Despite being part of the backfield committee as a junior, he earned all conference honors with 901 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns, 6 receptions for 62 yards. Led them to a 10-2 record, 2019 conference championship. Expected to be the featured runner as a senior, but the 2022 season was canceled because of the pandemic. Also an accomplished track athlete in high school, won state 3A championship in the indoor blah, 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 whatever. He did track. Three-star recruit, number 40 running back in the 2021 class, number 35 recruit in North Carolina, breakout junior season, and his blazing 55-meter dash. He received his first Division I offer from Liberty in January of 2020. Rutgers, Arizona State, and FAU followed with offers of their own. Several SEC programs then entered the picture, including Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Tennessee. After attending junior day at Knoxville, Tennessee, Wright committed to the Volunteers and former head coach Jeremy Pruitt in March 2020 and signed in December of 2020. Pruitt was fired in January 2021, and Josh Heupel took over as head coach, but Wright stayed committed. He was a number 12 recruit in the Vols 2021 class. After three seasons, he elected to skip the 2023 bowl game and enter the senior season to enter the 2024 NFL draft. It's funny, one of the first strengths that it talks about is that he's got a very muscular build and defined arms and quads, which, you know, again, just to emphasize, he's not a tiny dude. Says has track speed, but his ability to cut away from pursuit angles at full speed and create missed tackles is more impressive. I think that's true, too. I mean, again, it's just there's a lot of scenarios where guys would get caught and he doesn't, whether that's taking the edge, whether that's as a receiver. Minimal special teams experience, wasn't used as a returner. That does not mean he can't do it, just doesn't have experience. Injuries, underwent a procedure on his left thumb after the 2023 season. So that's the extent of his injury. So it's weird because, you know, you think about there's not a lot of super well-rounded guys. There's not a lot lacking here. I mean, there's no real power. But he's got plenty of size. The age is fine. There's no real injuries. It's almost like the 4.38 works against him, at least in my mind, and I'm sure I'm not alone, in that you see that and you think, hey, he's this tiny little guy. He's not tiny. But anyways, 1 year starter as the lead back in Josh Heupel's version of the air raid spread scheme. Overall, Wright needs to develop a better feel for using tempo to maximize what is there, but his run strength, balance, and ability to cut weave, take top speed, make him ability to cut weave at top speed, make him dangerous with the ball in his hands. Whatever. He projects as a scheme versatile back in the style of Jerome Ford, who can handle work on all three downs. At number five, Marshawn Lloyd, another really talented running back. I mean, I'm getting to the point now where it's like, I kind of like all these guys. I don't know. But Lloyd's got sort of the Gutekunst build. He's 5'9", 220, out of Wilmington, Delaware. He is 23 years old. Grew up in a small suburb of central Delaware. He first started playing football at peewee level. Didn't get on the field much, was ready to quit. Changed teams the following year, however, and quickly became the star of the league. He also played basketball, earned MVP honors in eighth grade. When he went to middle school, he played for the Wilmington Soldiers and quarterbacked the team to the 2012 Youth Football National Championship as a fifth grader. He attended middle school in fifth grade. What are we doing? He also was recruited by high schools, so there's number two. He wanted to stay home and play for Middletown High School, but Dematha Catholic High School, a private school for boys and a Maryland football powerhouse, offered him an intriguing opportunity despite the distance. He tried living with a teammate near the Dematha campus as a freshman before returning home and making the daily four-hour commute. He and his mother left the house by 5 a.m. and he didn't return until almost 10 p.m. I tell you what, man, there's some good parents out there. I don't think so, man. I'm sorry. I mean, freaking A, dude. That's crazy. As a freshman backup, he averaged 9.9 yards per carry, helped the program to a 12-0 record on a team that included numerous future FBS players, including Chase Young, DeMarco Hellams, Anthony McFarland, and center Oluwatimi. Missed most of his sophomore season with a broken left arm. After that, Lloyd led Dematha to the 2018 conference title game, which ended in a 59-yard Hail Mary touchdown in the final seconds, thrown by Gonzaga's Caleb Williams. That's crazy. As a senior, he got a bunch of yards, Under Armour All-American, set several school records in the weight room, including 20 bench press reps of 225. He lettered in track, setting personal bests, da-da-da. Four-star recruit, number five running back in the 2020 recruiting class. Bijan Robinson was number one, and the number four recruit in Maryland behind Brian Brzee, Chris Braswell, and Curtis Jacobs. Number 43 player nationally. He received offers from schools like Kentucky and Rutgers his freshman year. Several national programs, including Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and USC, joined the mix during his sophomore year. Maryland, which had hired Dematha head coach Elijah Brooks to be its running back coach, was considered one of the favorites to land Lloyd, as well as Georgia and Penn State, but Lloyd took a visit to South Carolina and knew immediately that it was the place for him. Apparently, the private school does not allow students to graduate early, so he just dropped out and then took an online course to get his degree. So, fair enough, sir. I suppose if I'm his mom or dad at that point, I'm like, look, bro, education's important, blah, 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 all that crap. I didn't get up at 5 o'clock and drive you 4 hours so you can get a good education. All right, go to the Gamecocks. He was expected to make an immediate impact for the Gamecocks, but he suffered a torn ACL in his left knee on the second day of fall camp and redshirted his first year. After his third season with the program, Lloyd elected to enter the transfer portal and signed with the other USC. He is on track to graduate with his degree in psychology. He has a 3.25 GPA. After one season with the Trojans, he skipped the 2023 bowl game and his remaining eligibility to enter the 2024 NFL draft. And he did accept his invite to the Senior Bowl. The words determination and toughness are frequently mentioned in his character reviews by coaches and scouts. Fewer than 300 carries in his college odometer and wasn't overused. Some of the negatives: doesn't have strong run-through power, fumbled 8 times in college, including 3 in 2023. Very little special teams experience. Durability will be questioned after he missed time in each of his 4 college seasons, including with a torn ACL in his left knee in August 2020. Which forced him to redshirt, missed 3 games as a sophomore because of a deep thigh contusion, missed his sophomore season in high school with a broken left arm August 2017. He was a 1-year starter and the top back on the depth chart in Lincoln Riley's RPO spread multiple run scheme. Overall, Lloyd doesn't have the profile of a high-volume back, but he can spark an NFL offense with a mix of patience, burst, and promise as a pass catcher. His tape gives me flashbacks of a thicker version of Duke Johnson when he was coming out of Miami. I always liked Duke Johnson. But that was back in my tiny, fast, shifty running back days. Although I still like, still kind of like those guys. Not as much, though. And then we'll do one more before the break, and that is the one, the only, Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, 6'1", 235 pounds out of Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. He is just 20.26 years old. I really did warm up a lot to Braylon Allen. I was all the way out on him last time we even talked about him, probably last week, actually, on Packernet Derailed. Me and the rest of the guys, but me in particular, kind of just highlighted that I have no interest in Braylon Allen, but you know, you want to talk about a guy that has the potential to be a well-rounded back, especially when you look at the fact that he's just 20 years old. I mean, he's not missing anything. He's got plenty of speed. He's got plenty of strength. I mean, he doesn't run like he's 235, and that sucks. It reminds me of A.J. Dillon. You should be stronger than you are. But he's got better vision than Dillon does. I mean, he's a good running back. I think he's a fantastic blocker, a very capable receiver. You know, he's certainly not an elite guy, but I think he's got every single thing you could ask for in a guy and plenty of room to grow. So that's just sort of where I've come around to with Allen. But anyways, one of three kids, two boys and a girl, grew up in Fond du Lac, which is 60 miles north of Milwaukee. His first sport was wrestling at age 4, and he went on to win numerous youth championships. He started playing football in 4th grade before moving up to tackle football in 5th grade as a running back and linebacker. Allen credits watching Melvin Gordon at Wisconsin as the igniter for his football passion in middle school. That's pretty cool. From Kenosha, I believe. When he started to take the sport more seriously, enrolled in Fond du Lac High School, played quarterback and defensive back on the freshman team before he was called up to varsity for the 2018 playoffs, and he played cornerback. Sophomore, he played quarterback and wide receiver. Until starting running back was injured, he moved into that role, rushed for 621 yards, 76 carries, and 6 touchdowns, helped Fond du Lac to a 9-2 record in the 2019 conference title. He added 48 tackles, 4 sacks, 3 picks as a strong safety. Also had an 89-yard kick return touchdown. 2020 season was postponed, so he took some extra classes. 2021 season was abbreviated. But he got a bunch of stats and all that, earned first-team All-State honors as both a running back and safety. With the additional course load, Allen was able to reclassify from the 2022 recruiting class to 2021, skipping his senior season. Good for him. He also wrestled at Fond du Lac and won a national championship his freshman season. Allen lettered in track and his personal bests in shot put and discus. 4-star recruit, Allen was the number 25 linebacker in the 2021 recruiting class and the number 3 recruit in Wisconsin. I didn't realize he came out as a linebacker. His recruitment was low-key with single-digit offers, but they were all from Power 5 programs. He had no offers from FCS or MAC schools. Allen attended an Iowa camp after his freshman season and received his first scholarship offer from the Hawkeyes June 2019. Wisconsin offered him in November 2019, followed by Michigan and Michigan State. His final three schools were Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Wisconsin, with the Badgers winning out, partly because of proximity. It's just 90 miles away. Because he reclassified and graduated early, he signed with Wisconsin December 2020 at age 16. Jeez. But he played his junior season of high school in the spring of 2021. He joined the Badgers in July 2021 and was the number 11 recruit in Paul Chryst's 2021 class. Recruited by former defensive coordinator Jim Leonard, Allen initially committed as a safety. He saw himself as the next Derwin James Jr. or Jamal Adams. See, and this is the other thing. Dude has been a legit college running back for how long now? I know he played some high school running back, but he didn't even come out as a running back. He came out as a linebacker and then was expected to play safety for Jim Leonard. However, because of depth issues at running back, the coaches kept Allen on offense as a freshman, and he quickly established himself as the backfield bell cow. He wasn't even supposed to be a running back. I just think there's a lot of room for growth here. He holds an annual charity softball game that raises money for Braylon Allen Fund, the Fond du Lac Boys and Girls Club, and the Junior Football League. Allen elected to skip the 2023 bowl game in his senior season to enter the 2020. I mean, this just screams high character stuff. I mean, he's taking extra classes so he can graduate early. He's doing all the right things. He's taking all the right steps. The guy has not even, you know, he's not even like making money and all that stuff. He's already got a charity softball game that raises money for the Braylon Allen Fund. So he's already set up a fundraising thing, which, I mean, I'm just saying, the Packers have got to have this guy on their radar. And Fond du Lac is very close to Green Bay. And he has a fundraiser for the Fond du Lac Boys and Girls Club and Junior Football League. I'm just saying. Dedicated in the weight room was squatting 515 and hang cleaning 405 pounds as a high school sophomore. Strong character reviews and described as ultra competitive by former head coach Paul Christ. An NFL scout said rare maturity for his age. Plus, he's a homebody. He's all football all the time. I mean, I don't love him as a football player, but I like him as a football player. And again, he's very well-rounded. He can do everything. There's a massive amount of growth. But from a character standpoint, I mean, it's screaming. Youngest player in the draft class and will be 20 for the entire rookie season. Average 5.9 yards per carry. I mean, just, I don't know. I'm starting to get a little excited about the guy. Some of the negatives: ball security was an issue in college. 9 career fumbles, including 4 in 2023. Missed time to injury each season. Sat out 1 game as a freshman because of a concussion. I don't necessarily see that as a recurring thing. Battled through shoulder and right leg injuries as a sophomore. Missing 1 game in 2022. Plagued by left ankle injury late in his junior season. Missed 1 game. I don't know why you use the word plagued. Make it seem like it's a recurring deal here. 3-year starter at Wisconsin, Allen was a focal point of offensive coordinator Phil Longo's multiple run scheme. Overall, Allen isn't overly creative and doesn't run with as much nastiness as his size suggests, but he is well built with the vision, feet, and overall feel to maximize the run design. He has the talent and third down potential to be a productive NFL tandem back similar to Tyler Allgeier. And that's the other thing. I mean, if you told me we desperately need a, like, number one running back, I'm not screaming for Braylon Allen. But if you're telling me he's a better version of AJ Dillon, and you've already got, you just need sort of a complimentary back, like a number two to take over for Dillon, who's probably not coming back next year. I mean, I'm just saying. All right, let's take our final break. We've got 7, 8, 9, and 10 coming up, starting off with Audric Estime, another guy that I was very cool on, but have warmed to since, at least somewhat. But we will take a quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, Audric Estime. Essentially, my thoughts on Estime haven't necessarily changed. I've got one big issue with him, and it's a severe lack of agility. If that either doesn't bother you or if you think it's an overblown concern, I think he can be a very good running back. He is one of the guys that's big and actually plays big. He is a freaking hammer. When I did my actual write-up, you can see it on social media. My new favorite term to use is exploded someone. And I use it probably 3 times in there talking about Audric Estime. There's one time where it's just a cut block. But the funny thing is, it's, you know how, you know, 2 things run into each other and they look mostly the same size, but one goes flying and one just kind of stands there? That's Estime. He's just dense. He's like a little tank. I say little, but I mean, 5'11", 222, he's not massive, but he's built different makes sense in this context. But again, I think the agility is a problem. He's just too slow trying to make cuts here and there, so he's got a roll. That makes me nervous. Anyways, Audric Estime, 5'11", 222, Nyack, New York, St. Joseph Regional High School, 20.6 years old, another really young guy, plenty to like there. He has an older brother, Kadar, was born in Atlanta, grew up in Rockland County, South New York, near the New Jersey border. He was raised by his mother, Bertha Neusett, who died after a longtime battle with sickle cell disease when Estime was 10. That's horrible. After his mother's death, Estime and his brothers were raised by their extended Haitian-American family, many of whom speak Creole. His aunt, Maurice Fide, his mother's older sister, and uncle, Garrick Neusett, became their legal guardians. Estime started playing football at age 4 as a running back at a Pop Warner level, continued through the position. He also weightlifted and played basketball throughout his childhood. The weightlifting is evident. He was able to dunk before he was a teenager. Bro, I've never been able to dunk. He enrolled at St. Joseph Regional High School, a private all-boys Catholic school in Montvale, New Jersey, where he played with his older brother and future Notre Dame teammate Howard Cross III. After seeing limited action in varsity as a freshman, Estime earned more carries as a sophomore. They went to a 10-2 record, 2018 state championship as a junior, 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns. Senior season was limited to only 8 games because of the pandemic. but estimate exploded with 1,857 yards and 22 touchdowns, averaging 232 yards per game. Jeez. He also had 185 receiving yards, two receiving grabs, and was named 2020 New Jersey Football Player of the Year. That's quite an award. Four-star recruit, Estime was the number 13 running back in the 2021 class, number three recruit in New Jersey. Started receiving scholarship offers during his sophomore season, Boston College, Iowa State, Maryland, Nebraska, Rutgers, and Virginia. In his senior year of high school, Estime received offers from Michigan State, committed to newly hired head coach Mel Tucker. However, Notre Dame, Estime's dream school, made a late push and flipped him on early signing day just a few days after he'd received his offer. He was the number nine recruit in Notre Dame's 2021 class, one spot behind Joe Alt. His cousin, Terrence Fide, who is also Estime's godfather and role model, played defensive line at Marist. He was drafted in the seventh round of the 2014 NFL draft and played four seasons for the Miami Dolphins. Estime wore number seven jersey to reflect the round in which Fide was drafted. Estime is also related to Joe Giles Harris, a productive linebacker at Duke, who has spent the last five seasons in the NFL primarily on practice squads. Estime plans to attend law school after his football days. He skipped the 2023 bowl game in his senior season to enter the 2024 NFL draft. Right off the gate, the strengths say built like a linebacker with broad shoulders, yoked up arms, chest, and thick lower half. It says he lives in the weight room, 7% body fat, put the ball on the ground in the first quarter of the 2023 opener and was benched, and that was his only fumble of the season. 26 targets, 26 receptions, zero drops. NFL scouts say he is coachable with the mental and physical toughness required at the position. He's a regular on kick return coverage. It's funny. Every other running back is returning him. He's out there freaking just killing people. Just the fifth player in Notre Dame history to surpass 1,300 yards in a season. His 6.39 yards per carry in 2023 was number one in the FBS among running backs with 200-plus carries. And then weaknesses, pretty similar to what I said, high cut and runs with hints of tightness in his hips. I don't know about hints. Full-speed cuts are more rounded than sharp. Inconsistent stop-start, etc., etc. Didn't miss games because of injury, but his penchant for extra contact will create durability concerns. I dig it. Two-year starter at Notre Dame, Estime was the lead back and offensive coordinator Gerard Park's multiple run scheme. Overall, Estime has the build and run power of a downhill grinder, but the vision and cut acceleration of a smaller back, giving him RB1 potential for an NFL team, best in a gap scheme. His body type, run talent, and promise on passing downs are reminiscent of former Seattle Seahawks running back Chris Carson. At number eight, we have Bucky Irving out of Oregon, 5'9", 192, from Chicago, Illinois, 21.7 years old. Marquise Bucky Irving, one of three kids, two boys and a girl, grew up in the south side of Chicago. His father, Marcellus, gave him the Bucky nickname, but died when Irving was two. My Lord, what is the deal here? Irving started playing football at age five, quickly made a name for himself as a standout running back at a peewee level. Standout basketball player through his childhood, then started the AAU level in middle school, played for Team Rose 15U. Played at Morgan Park, transferred to Hillcrest, Country Club Hills. Sophomore Irving won a starting running back job, also played cornerback, led Hillcrest to a 12-1 record in 2018. As a junior, rushed for 1,700 yards, 22 touchdowns, 21 receptions, 405 yards, 4 touchdowns. Named 2019 Conference Player of the Year, earned All-State honors. Led Hillcrest to the conference title in 2019, came within a game of the state finals. Because of the pandemic, his senior season was postponed. Also led it in basketball at Hillcrest and led the team in scoring, 16 points per game as a junior, helping the team to a 23-9 record and first place in the conference. He was a four-star recruit, number 23 running back, number four recruit in Illinois. Also received recruiting interest from mid-major basketball schools, but decided football was his best long-term option. Makes sense when you're 5'9", 192. After his breakout sophomore season, the offer started to arrive from several MAC programs, Central Michigan, Kent State, Northern Illinois, and then Big Ten schools, Nebraska and Wisconsin. Minnesota offered him in May 2019, the same day his grandmother died. Exactly 1 year later, Irving officially committed to the Gophers, choosing Minnesota over Purdue, TCU, and Utah. Part of a backfield committee as a freshman, he sought out more playing time and entered the portal in April 2022. A month later, Irving announced his transfer to Oregon.
After two seasons in Eugene, he elected to skip his senior season and enter the 2024 NFL draft. So Bucky Irving, to me, is somewhat similar to Blake Corum, but is more of like what I think people mostly picture when they think of Blake Corum, which is this tiny, shifty guy, which, again, Corum isn't really. Bucky is that. And so I am really just not a very big Bucky Irving fan. I mean, he's kind of cool to watch in terms of, you know, he's got some good bounce and hop to him, which probably comes with the territory. When you're 5'9", 192, it's a little easier to move that body around. But the limitations are just kind of crazy. And the fact that he's really not very fast, I just personally, I couldn't really get into Bucky Irving. And again, being a Packers fan, I don't think we necessarily have to worry about it. I cannot in any circumstance imagine the best player on Gutekunst's board at any point in time is ever going to be a 5'9", 192 running back. That's just my thought on it. Does have experience as a kick returner, averaged 22.6 yards per return. Undersized, obviously. Two-year starter at Oregon, Irving was the lead back in offensive coordinator Will Stein's zone read balanced run attack. Overall, Irving is undersized and underpowered, but he has pass-catching skills and instinctive run qualities to quickly sort and make sharp directional cuts to daylight. He projects as an NFL complementary back who can be a productive changeup in a committee, like former North Carolina running back Michael Carter. At number nine, guy that I'm a big fan of, Mr. Ray Davis out of Kentucky, 5'8", 211, San Francisco, California. He is 24 and a half years old, though. That's a problem. Ramon Davis, also known as Ray Davis, who has 14 siblings, was born in the Hayes Valley area of San Francisco. His biological parents spent multiple stretches in prison, so Davis lived in homes of extended family and friends and in homeless shelters during his childhood. Davis entered the foster care system and became a ward of the state at age 8. At age 8, he lived for 2 months in the basement of the General Hospital in San Francisco. He then moved into the apartment of one of his teachers for a period before living with his grandmother. Sports, specifically basketball and football, served as an escape. Davis enrolled at Lincoln High School as a freshman in 2014 and played running back and safety. He also played basketball, and a teammate's parents offered him assistance and later became his guardians. Banks helped Davis apply to Trinity Pauling School, a boarding school in eastern New York known for its athletic programs. Around the same time, Davis's father was released from jail. He rebuilds his life and his relationship with his then 16-year-old son, and he eventually was awarded full custody of Ray. Well, that's, I guess, good. After the court system approved him to leave the state, Davis enrolled at Trinity Pauling as a sophomore in 2015. After two seasons as a complimentary running back and defensive back, he became the starting quarterback as a senior. He also lettered in basketball and baseball at Trinity Pauling and joined the track team as a junior, setting personal best, etc., etc. Davis started to get recruited by FBS programs, but he was one credit shy of NCAA eligibility and enrolled at Blair Academy in Blairstown, New Jersey for a postgraduate year. Playing as a quarterback and cornerback, Davis was named 2018 Conference Player of the Year with 1,698 rushing yards on 168 carries, which is 10.1 average, and 35 total touchdowns in 8 games. My Lord. He was a 3-star recruit. Davis was the number 116 running back in the 2019 recruiting class and the number 41 recruit in New Jersey. He picked up a few FCS offers from Albany and Towson among them. Then Purdue offered him after he attended camp in June 2018. However, that fell offer through. It's fine. There's so much work that goes into this, it doesn't matter if it's not super edited. That offer fell through, and Davis instead committed to Temple over Kent State and Navy. He enrolled early and was the number 10 recruit in the Owls 2019 class. After leading Temple in rushing in 2019 and 2020, he transferred to Vanderbilt for a chance to play in the SEC. Banks and Lay also moved to Nashville to further support him. After two seasons with the Commodores, Davis entered the transfer portal again, considered a package deal with transfer quarterback Devin Leary. Davis transferred to Kentucky for the 2023 season. Raymond Sr. was a high school star in football, basketball, baseball, and track, and was introduced into the Galileo High School Hall of Fame. He holds the school record for most touchdowns in a season, one spot ahead of O.J. Simpson. That's that murderer that just died of cancer, if you didn't know. Raymond Sr. signed with San Jose State in 2002 to play football and played at college in Marin. Ray Davis graduated with a degree in communications from Vanderbilt and earned his certificate in business and economics from Kentucky. He accepted his invitation to the 2024 Senior Bowl. So as for why I like Ray Davis personally, some of you may or may not remember this, but when I was tasked with going to find, one of the callers asked me to go find an Aaron Jones comp. And I came away with Dylan Lauby, but a close second was Ray Davis. I just really think he's a gifted runner. I really do. I mean, leaving aside the 24-year-old thing and every other issue you might have with the guy, I mean, just based on watching him run, I love watching the guy run. I think the only real negative I had is that he's not going to be a super big benefit when it comes to, you know, third down, fourth down, goal line type stuff necessarily. Although, again, we used Aaron Jones. He didn't necessarily have to use his power. Sometimes, you know, not everything is about power on the goal line, but, you know, we used him instead of A.J. Dillon. But still, we've got a big, strong dude as our number one running back right now that can handle the vast majority of the work. I just think he's a really talented guy. And if we can get him, we're talking fourth round. Again, the ability to find yards that don't exist. That was what I was looking for when I found Dylan Lauby and Mr. Ray Davis. Some other positives here. Fumbled only twice over his three seasons in the SEC. Remarkable story of determination and overcoming adverse circumstances while staying positive. An NFL scout said, he chose betterness over bitterness. Talk about being dealt a rough hand. He overcame it and did it with a smile. I mean, you know, and look, I don't know. I never know if people enjoy these types of things. I'm basically just reading stuff to you, but I really, really like this. It's unbelievable. It almost seems fake. Like, how does everybody have a story that could be a movie? It's unbelievable. I mean, I suppose you have to be a unique, special individual to end up in this situation, but it's just incredible to me, the amount of different stories that we've heard, and here's another one. You're telling me this couldn't be a story? This couldn't be a movie if this guy goes on to be successful? Even if he doesn't, I'd watch the movie. I don't even know the guy. You make this a movie? As long as he ends up getting drafted, we got a movie. Set a Kentucky single-season record with 21 total touchdowns, which ranked number 3 in the FBS. Negatives: missed the final 9 games of his junior season at Vanderbilt after tearing a ligament in his toe, September of 2021, which did require surgery. Looks like that's about it. Says he doesn't offer real value on special teams, either as a returner or in coverage. Will turn 25 during his rookie season. I mean, that's the biggest negative, I think. One-year starter at Kentucky, Davis was the main offensive weapon in offensive coordinator Liam Cohen's gap-focused scheme. It says his journey is worthy of a Hollywood script, but he's much more than a feel-good story. Overall, Davis has racked up a lot of miles and lacks explosive long speed, but his vision, cutting skills, and competitive toughness are translatable traits. Although he doesn't offer much on special teams, he can be a productive rotational back in an NFL offense. Fourth round. All right, final guy is Mr. Will Shipley. This one took me a long time to come around to. And I think for some of these guys, it's about just being able to see the vision. You know, what is it that I'm supposed to like about this guy? And I was just about through watching Will Shipley before I started to figure it out. But Will Shipley out of Clemson, 5'11", 206, Weddington, North Carolina. He is 21 and a half years old. William Will Shipley, the youngest of two boys, grew up in Weddington, 20 miles south of downtown Charlotte. His father, James Sr., is a longtime youth sports coach and got his boys involved with multiple sports at an early age, including baseball, basketball, and even karate. Both boys were black belts. His first sport was lacrosse. Didn't take long for him to separate himself as one of the top youth lacrosse athletes in the Charlotte area. Started playing flag football at age 5, and then for his father's Pop Warner team, which won city championship at age 7. As a running back, Shipley played up 2 grades throughout youth football so he could play with his older brother. While focusing primarily on football and lacrosse throughout middle school, he was on the recruiting radar in 8th grade in both sports. He attended Weddington High School and was an immediate varsity star as a freshman running back and safety, accounted for 1,100 total yards. Dopity-bop. Sophomore, 1,400 yards, 206 carries, 19 touchdowns, first team All-State, All-County, All-Conference, added 49 tackles, 2 picks as a safety. Best season as a junior, led them to a 16-0 record, school's second straight 3A state championship. He was MVP of the 2019 title game with 256 rush yards. Shipley finished his junior year with 2,000 rushing yards. 42 touchdowns. He again earned first-team All-State honors and was named 2019 Gatorade Player of the Year in North Carolina. Didn't play a senior season after the 2020 fall season was postponed because of the pandemic. He was also a standout lacrosse player, scoring 49 goals in 38 career games. Shipley lettered in baseball and indoor track and won Charlotte Championship in the 55 meters as a sophomore. He also had personal bests of whatever in the 300 meter and long jump. Five-star recruit, Shipley was the number two running back in the 2021 recruiting class behind Travion Henderson, who I don't know why. I watched him a long time. I like that guy. I don't know. They're just not going to talk about him. Number two recruit in North Carolina, one spot ahead of Drake May. He was the number 32 recruit nationally. Prior to high school, Shipley received a lot of attention for lacrosse, but all that changed after his freshman season started when Duke and head coach David Cutliff extended him a first scholarship offer. NC State also was early to offer him, which was appealing to Shipley, as most of his family had graduated from there. Added several high-profile offers, including Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State, but he narrowed his final decision to Clemson, Notre Dame, and Stanford. Based on his relationship with head coach Dabo Swinney and offensive coordinator Tony Elliott, Shipley officially committed to the Tigers in May of 2020. CJ Spiller was his running back coach. He was the number four recruit in Swinney's 2021 class, one spot ahead of cornerback Nate Wiggins. Shipley's father, who played college basketball at Division II Catawba before transferring to NC State, founded National Amateur Sports, a high school sports marketing and operation consulting firm based in Charlotte. His mother, Tammy, played soccer at NC State. His older brother, James Jr., was a standout football player and lacrosse player at Weddington and played lacrosse at Penn, earning all Ivy League honors. Shipley was an academic All-American at Clemson and graduated December 2023 in less than 3 years with a 4.0 GPA. He elected to skip his senior season and enter the 2024 NFL Draft. He's a brainiac, Goot. I know you like your freaking 4.0 geniuses, you know what I mean? So Shipley, for me, was a 6.5 out of 10. He doesn't have any top-tier elite attributes, but again, he's a pretty well-rounded guy. I think he can mostly do everything. I think he's a smart running back. I think he has all the agility that you need, all the bursts that you need. Doesn't have a ton of power, not a great blocker, but he's good enough. So would I be doing backflips if we drafted Will Shipley? Not really. Would I get it and be content with it? Absolutely. Some of the other positive notes here. Played up two grades throughout youth sports and competing against older kids fast-tracked his toughness and talent. Consistently plays through injuries. Effective pass catcher, best on swing screens. I did see that. It's quite good. It's very fluid. Averaged 26.6 yards as a kick returner. That's not a bad thing. Described as an alpha and natural leader by his coaches. He'll light a fire under the you-know-what of his guys. He leaves it all out there and expects the same from his teammates. I love that. And that goes in line with kind of the guys that we have, you know, the Jordan Love thing. I like that. I definitely appreciate that. Negatives, needs to take better care of the ball, avoid frustrating mistakes, 9 drops and 8 fumbles in his career. Missed 3 games as a freshman with a left leg/foot injury in September 2021, which required off-season surgery. Missed 1 game as a junior because of a concussion or because of concussion symptoms. Had to be carted off in the bowl game, his final game, with a non-contact left knee injury, December 2023. Wasn't used on special teams except as a kick returner. 3-year starter at Clemson, Shipley was a versatile running back in offensive coordinator Garrett Riley's balanced scheme. He credits his lacrosse background for his skilled footwork and gear change. He's at his best in the screen game where his vision and contact balance have a chance to shine. Overall, Shipley has only average size, but he runs with controlled athleticism and competitive urgency in all areas of his game. Though he has the mentality of an early down grinder, his versatile skills best fit in a third down role and on special teams. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are your top 10 debatably running backs and my thoughts on them. So next up is going to be corner. I'll try to go through as fast as I possibly can. If we can do it tomorrow, we'll do it tomorrow, but I can't promise you that. Otherwise, we'll just do Packernet After Dark. So please make sure you get your calls in, and I will talk to you then. Have a good one. Bye-bye.